I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You just said the magic words. I look like you did.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You'll get the best for so much less. Your folks will flip the lid.
If it's new and hot,
it's a toy they've got.
And the prices are hard to beat.
I don't want to grow up.
Cause if I did,
you couldn't be a Toys R Us kid. More games, more toys.
It's the world's biggest toy store. Let's go.
Do you remember those commercials? Yeah. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yes, I'm just a big kid. That's all I am, a big kid. I'm a Toys R Us kid, and I will fully admit that I was drugged and held hostage and hypnotized for that picture. That's what happened. But I am a big kid. I love being a kid. And the reality is, being a big kid, I make a lot of mistakes. I do a lot of dumb things, and sometimes I stick my foot in my mouth, and sometimes in places it doesn't belong, like in other people's mouths, but that's a different story. But I'm a big kid, and I enjoy being a big kid. But then there's this adult side of me that I don't like so much. And we're going to talk about that today. Because the gospel lesson, and you even heard it in our baptism for today, God calls us, Jesus calls us to be like little children. He wants us to be children. He wants us to be his children. And that's the amazing thing about the kingdom of God. That's the amazing thing about the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that he pours out in our lives, is that he frees us not to be adults, but to be children in his kingdom. To be his children, living for him joyfully every day. Children, by their very nature, are trusting. Have you ever noticed that? And sometimes that gets children in trouble. That's a different story for another time. But children, by their very nature, are trusting. Think about it. When a baby cries, oftentimes you pick that baby up and it will calm down, right? And that baby has no idea that it could be dropped. I mean, I am clumsy. That's why I don't hold babies during baptisms. A lot of pastors do. I don't touch them. Because there's not enough money you could pay me in the world to touch that baby, because if I dropped someone else's baby, that was fine. When we had Samantha, our baby, before she died, I held her and I said, well, if I drop my own baby, it's not as bad. But if I drop somebody else's baby, that's not a good thing, right? And so, but that baby doesn't know. It doesn't think, oh my gosh, I'm 5 feet off the ground. It just trusts. It completely trusts. The baby trusts that when it cries, its diaper's going to get changed. The baby trusts that when it cries, it's going to be fed. Have you noticed that? Children are like that too, even as they grow up, even to be their children. They just trust. They're so trusting. My poor nieces, my wife has instructed them in their lives. My nieces and nephews don't believe anything he says unless he's talking about Jesus. Because I could have them believing anything I wanted. It was so much fun. But they're so trusting, and that's just the nature of a child. They don't doubt, they don't question, they just trust. It's not until we grow up that we begin to lose that trust. As we grow up and we hit our teenage years and then grow up into our adult years, we begin to think about things. Could God really have created the world in 7 days? Could Jesus really have died on the cross for my sins? Is Jesus really here in the midst of the hurricane that's going on? How could God let these things happen if he's a loving God? We'll talk more about that. Right? We begin to doubt. Oh, in the midst of my problems, in the midst of my troubles, instead of turning to Jesus and praying and trusting that he's going to take care of me, worry and anxiety and all those things enter in. And let me tell you, that's where I fail miserably at being a child in the kingdom of God. Because I'm the most anxious, worried person you'll ever meet. And my staff will tell you that. I mean, I am. And that's my sin. That's a sin that I bear and carry. Luther says, worry is praying to the wrong God, and it is. And as adults, it enters our lives. And what happens when we get anxious and we worry and all these things enter is we're praying to Satan. We've lost focus of Jesus, and now we're praying to Satan. And that's what happens because we lose that childlike trust, the beauty of that childlike faith that God wants us to have in his kingdom. And what else happens as we become adults? And this happens during our teenage years and as we grow older, is we lose our dependence and our need for God. We lose our total dependence and our need for God. And that also is part of the natural maturation process because we begin in our teenage years to lose our total need and dependence on mom and dad, right? And when your 13-year-old child comes to you and says, no, I don't need you to do this for me, and you know in your own head very well, they still need you. They just don't think they do, right? Right, parents? Am I seeing head shake? Is that right? What do we do to God? at 40 years old, at 50 years old, at 60 years old, at 70 years old, at 100 years old. I don't need you to cover this for me, God. I got it. Just step back a little bit. I read an article that was sent to me this week, and it was from Fox News. And this article was a man, a Christian, writing about the hurricane coming to Florida. And his whole article was about the reason God is letting this hurricane come to Florida is to punish the people who don't believe in Jesus. My blood pressure went up. I almost threw up. I lashed out. I wanted to throw things because that's not the Jesus we believe in or the God we believe in. You see, that's an adult thinking like an adult, not an adult thinking like a child. Because in reality, what we know is the reason that God lets these trials come into our life, the reason these struggles and storms and anxieties and worries and health concerns and all that we go through, financial issues, whatever it is we have in our life, whatever it is we go through that is unpleasant and not happy and not joyful, all those things come into our life for a purpose. And the first thing to know is God doesn't cause them. They come from Satan. We know this from the book of Job. God allows them to happen. He allows them to happen for this purpose. It keeps us totally dependent upon Him. It keeps us looking to Him for all our needs and our wants. It keeps us focused on the cross for our salvation. And people will say, yeah, but we could die. Well, so what if we do? If He lets us live through the storm, great, we live here. If we die in the storm, we go to heaven. Great, even better, right? But we get so worried and we act like we're afraid and all these anxieties build up and then we start blaming God or we start making up these adult answers that God does this to punish people. The homosexuals and those who don't believe. That's what God is doing. It's sickening. It's not true Christianity. It's from Satan. And that's what happens when adults act like adults instead of acting like children in the kingdom of God. Children find joy in life and are often more ready to love others than we as adults. Think about that. Children find joy in life and are often more ready to love others than we as an adult. I heard stories coming out of the shelters in Houston when the storm was there, and I'm seeing pictures and stories coming out of the shelters in Florida. The adults are all worried about the storm coming, and the children are playing up and down the hall. They're having a good time because they know they're safe. They're not worried about stuff. They know it's going to be taken care of. If the house isn't there, that's okay. It'll be rebuilt. It may be stressful. But they're enjoying life, even in the midst of struggle and trial and hardship. They're enjoying life because they find joy. They find peace. They find comfort. They trust that everything's going to be all right. I don't do that. No, I bite my nails. I get stomach problems. We won't go into those details. I get health issues. Because I have to worry my little head off or all my hair falls out because of it. But that's what happens as adults. Children love to make friends and are often ready to step in and help. Have you ever noticed that with kids? They love to make friends. And they'll make friends with the person behind you in the line at the store. They'll make friends with the table next to you at the restaurant. My parents hated taking me everywhere because I would start preaching to people because I wanted to be a pastor since I was 4. And I'd look at the table next to me and start preaching about Jesus, so they quit taking us out to eat. But anyways, we make friends with people. They do. It's just amazing, right? On the playground, they make friends with people. Then we grow older, we get into our teenage years and adult years, and we start becoming picky and choosy about friends or anxieties happen or whatever may enter our lives. And the reality is, we stop making friends. We start going away from people instead of coming to people. And the amazing thing about this is it brings out 2 points in our text for today. It brings out the point of not letting a child stumble. You heard about that, right? Anyone who causes a child to stumble, tie a millstone, throw them into the heart of the sea. Well, by making friends, children make friends, right? They're there for their friends when they're hurting. They're there for their friends when times are tough. They're there for their friends, and you'll see them hug each other and love each other and hold hands together and get through whatever's going on so that the other one doesn't stumble. That's what Christian life is supposed to be like, that we love each other so much that we pick each other up and help each other to keep from stumbling. And the other part of the lesson for today, if your brother sins against you, dealing with sin, think about that for children for a minute. They may get upset for a minute and cry, but then the next thing you know, they're about playing with their friend who wouldn't let them play with a toy or who hurt them or threw sand at them in the playground. Because they forgive. Because they're loving. And because they're ready to help and befriend and help each other bear burdens more than we as adults are. Children find joy in the simplest areas of life, and they're thankful for it. They're thankful for it. The sun comes up in the morning. They find joy and they thank God for it. Heck, most of the time I forget to thank God for the blessings in my life. I spend more time as an adult giving him my worries than my thanks. But not children. Have you ever heard a child pray the night before they go to bed? The thanks is beautiful. Children are less likely to hold grudges and much more forgiving. And that's what we were just talking about. Children are much less likely to hold a grudge and much more forgiving. And see, the kingdom of God calls us to be non-grudge bearers. It calls us to be people of forgiveness. It calls us to say to our brother who has sinned against us, I love you, and I'm going to walk with you and help you through life. Why does that happen? It's because of what Jesus did for us. It's because Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. It's because when Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins and rose from the dead to assure us of eternal life, through the gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper, it's through those wonderful gifts that God gives us the gift of joy and salvation and forgiveness and calls you and me to live that life with others around us. To let go of the grudges, to let go of the hate, to work through problems with people who have hurt us, to work through those issues and to come to a place of forgiveness. You don't have to like people all the time, but you do got to love them. And that's the reality. And we can learn a great lesson from watching our children because that's exactly what they do. They live out and emanate what comes from the cross. The mercy, the love, and the grace of God in their lives is beautiful. What an example we have from children as we too are called to forgive and to let go of grudges. Quite frankly, adulthood has ruined the world. Would you agree? Who causes the wars? Who causes prejudice and racism? Who lobs bombs at each other? Am I right? Adulthood has ruined the world. When adults take over, things get bad. Here's the reality. Let's take a time to distinguish something real quick. There's a difference between adulthood and being mature. Jesus does call us to be mature. One of the things about our faith is through the process of sanctification. That process is the process of becoming holy, more like Jesus. That began today in Casper's life. It began the day when you were baptized and continues every time we hear the word and receive the sacrament. The process of becoming holy, being more like Jesus, it ends the day we go to heaven when we're perfect. But that process of sanctification grows in our lives and our faith matures. A mature faith is important. A faith that is maturing is one that ultimately does one important task. Do you know what that task is? Loving people so that they may know Jesus. Loving people so that they may know Jesus, that the kingdom of God may grow. That is the will of God, that all people come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved. A mature faith is a faith growing into being witnesses for Jesus, growing into being disciples for Jesus, carrying his message, his love, his forgiveness, and his grace to the world around us every day, in every way, wherever we go. That's the mature faith. Being mature means making good decisions. Good decisions in our lives. Instead of worrying about things and being anxious about things, taking those things to God in prayer and making good, godly, wise decisions that affect us and our families. But God still calls us in the midst of being mature to be like children in his kingdom. To trust him above all things. To have compassion above all things. To have love and forgiveness above all things, and to have fun and enjoy the world around us. I am bad at having fun. My wife just said to me this morning, you've got to get out and start having fun in life. You work, 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 and you do nothing else. You got to have a hobby. Well, my hobby is airplanes, and it's expensive. So if you want to donate to my hobby fund, you can after church. But God wants us to have fun and to enjoy his creation. God wants us to be like children. He wants us to enjoy life and have fun living it. He wants our complete trust and reliance. He wants it. He desires it. He wants us to get over life quickly. Get over life quickly, folks. Get over it. Life is too short in this world to hold grudges, to be mad, to be angry, and to hold on to things. It's just too short. And the more you don't get over things, the less opportunity you have to love people and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants us to get over things quickly, to forgive mightily, and to let go of grudges. He wants us to put judgment and learned prejudice behind us. This is such an important topic today. I don't know what's happened to our world. I remember growing up in the 80s, and here, there was some prejudice, and it seemed to go away. Racism seemed to go away. I even grew up in Tennessee, and it seemed to be pretty lull. But all of a sudden, racism is back at the peak of our culture again. These prejudices come from adulting. Kids aren't prejudiced. They don't see color. They don't see the sin of other people. They don't judge you because you're different. They don't judge you because you're homosexual or you've had an abortion. Instead, they come and they love you through it. And they love you and accept you as God's child to help you to see the grace of God in your life, which is for you. That's what God calls us to do too. He wants us to be mature in the world, yet to be childlike in our faith. He wants to completely lavish upon us every good and perfect gift. I've heard people say before, where are God's gifts in my life? If you aren't seeing God's gifts in your life, you are being an adult, because they're there. His gifts are for you every day, because God is a God of grace. And being a God of grace, he pours out the gifts of life and forgiveness and everything we need to support this body and life upon us every second of every day. In the midst of storms, in the midst of anxieties, in the midst of health concerns, in the midst of financial issues, God is a God of grace, and he is pouring out his gifts upon you in the midst of it. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Open your soul. Be joyful and rejoice, because the kingdom of God belongs to you. Through baptism, God has made you his child. And through baptism, God has given you his kingdom. Every piece of rich and wealth that God has is now yours in abundance. And nothing can take that away. Let us approach life in the light of God's grace as his children. In Jesus' name, amen.